Hello there. This is Sheila Hamill and Andrew Richwick with New Day Dawning. Thank you for joining us on Auckland Hospital Radio, your bedside entertainment system. Let's open today's programme with a song entitled Come to the Banquet, with words and music written by Faye White and sung by the congregation of the Portland Haywood Lutheran Church. The song speaks of an invitation to a very special banquet, which is available to all who are willing to come to it. But don't all invitations need some reply, an RSVP? We'll be finding out more about banquets in this morning's programme.
Come to the banquet, there's a place for you. Though you maybe have no money, though you maybe feel unworthy in your strength or in your weakness, you are welcome, come.
Come to the banquet, there's a place for you. See, you are an honored guest, from constant serving you may rest. So sit you down, be fed and blessed, for you are welcome, come. Come to the banquet, there's a place for you. Woman wise, one mother maiden, see your plate with food is laden, and your place is set and waiting, you are welcome, come.
To the banquet, there's a place for you. Worker, father, little boy, old man or youth without employ, come rest your worry, here is joy, and you are welcome, come. Come to the banquet, there's a place for you. Whether you've been lost or faithful, whether you've been wise or wasteful, here's a place of rest and grace, and you are welcome, come.
Come to the banquet, there's a place for you. Here is one who runs to meet you, loving arms stretched out to greet you. Do not let your fear defeat you, you are welcome, come.
Come to the banquet, there's a place for you. Willing hands have made the spread, with yeast and salt and labor shed. Let all the hungry ones be fed, it's time for feasting, come. Come to the banquet, there's a place for you. Abundant wine enough for all, our generous loving host has called, and a cup of blessing now is poured for sweet communion, come. Come to the banquet, there's a place for you.
Those of you who listen in each Sunday morning to New Day Dawning will know that over the last few weeks, we've been thinking about words which Jesus spoke in St. John's Gospel, chapter 6, where he said, I am the bread of life. Our last three programmes have covered themes such as Jesus feeding the 5,000, manna in the wilderness, and bread of life. This week's theme is the Lord's Supper, a Holy Communion. So, may I begin by asking the question, what did Jesus mean when he said to the people, this bread is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. And unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man, you have no life in you. Well, let's listen to what else Jesus said in today's Gospel reading in John 6. Jesus said, I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. Then they began to argue sharply amongst themselves. How can this man give us his flesh to eat? Jesus said to them, very truly I tell you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life. And I will raise them up at the last day. For my flesh is real food, and my blood is real drink. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me, and I in them. Just as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so the one who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven. Your ancestors ate manna and died. But whoever feeds on this bread will live forever. Here's a well-known hymn called Broken for You, which reflects on these words of Jesus. It's written by Janet and Colin Lunt.
Broken for me, broken for you, the body of Jesus, broken for you. He offered his body, he poured out his soul. Jesus was broken that we might be whole. Broken for me, broken for you, the body of Jesus, broken for you. To my table and with me dine, eat of my bread and drink of my wine. Broken for me, for you, the body of Jesus, broken for you. This is my body given for you.
There's a service held in Christian churches known as the Lord's Supper. It's also known as Holy Communion or the Eucharist. Some have even referred to it as the heavenly banquet. But in these services, there's a clear invitation to come and eat bread and wine, which represents Christ's body and his blood. As bread is broken, we hear the minister speaking Jesus' words of invitation. Take, eat. This is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And as wine is poured out and offered, we hear the words, drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in remembrance of me. Now, at the very moment the minister blesses the bread and wine, many Christians believe the bread and wine actually becomes the body and blood of Christ. For other Christians, this meal is but a vivid and glorious memorial of Christ's death on the cross and is of spiritual significance only. But given the words of Jesus from our gospel reading today, where he says, "My flesh is real food and my blood is real drink," we must all see that there is something of the mysterious presence of Jesus here on offer for all. But whatever our belief, this meal can be likened to the kind of wedding reception which follows on from making marriage vows. The difference is that here a different sort of contract has been made between us and God. We commit our lives to God, and God promises to be faithful to us and be with us forever. The meal which follows is a celebration of that union. But sadly, not everyone appreciates or accepts this free invitation to the banquet or this meal, which is so special and so meaningful for so many people today. I wrote a song once inspired by a parable Jesus told about those who'd been invited by a king to his marriage feast, but they refused to come. Their excuses were very lame, and so the king invited others instead, the poor, the lame, and the sick. Here is the parable of the marriage feast.
Dear sir, I'm writing to inform you I won't make it to your banquet. Bought some land and must inspect it, resurrect it, please accept it, I can't come today. Dear sir, I'm writing to inform you I won't make it to your banquet. Saw some oxen, had to buy them and then try them, so that's why I'm not prepared to come. Dear sir, I'm writing to inform you I won't make it to your banquet. Tied the knot, a wife I've got, an understanding she is not, I simply cannot come. The master said unto his servant, so they won't come to my banquet. Go outside into the streets and bring the poor into my feast, the beggars, blind and lame.
Jesus and his disciples were Jewish, contrary to the image presented to us by European artists. And here they are on the night before Jesus died, celebrating their Jewish Passover meal. Now, to understand the full significance of this, their Last Supper, we have to know what Passover was. It was and still is an annual feast held by Jews to remember how Moses led the Israelites out of slavery in the land of Egypt to freedom in the Promised Land. God sent 10 plagues to force Pharaoh's hand to release the Israelites, and the last plague was the most terrible of all. Death was coming to the firstborn in every family by way of an angel of death. But God directed Moses to tell the people to daub the blood of a lamb over the doorway of each Israelite family, so this angel would pass over and be saved from death. Hence the word Passover. So lambs were sacrificed to save the people from death. Our next song is a lullaby calling Jesus just that, the Lamb of God. It's from my album, Christmas Story, which I'm singing with children from Central Middle School, Wallsend.
Jesus, Lamb of God, Jesus, Mary's Son, we worship you, we come before you, sing.
Thank you.
this Last Supper which Jesus celebrated with his friends the night before he died, he began to speak of himself as one who had to be sacrificed to save people from sin and death. He was actually rewriting the Passover dialogue to the amazement of the disciples. Isaiah the prophet, hundreds of years before Jesus was born, had spoken of the coming Messiah as the lamb for the slaughter. He had said, "But he was pierced for our transgressions, he was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed." When John the Baptist first saw Jesus coming to the Jordan, he pointed him out, saying, "Look, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world." So when Jesus was speaking of his body that would be broken, and his blood that would be shed at that Last Supper, he was identifying himself with that Passover lamb. It was required to be an offering that was perfect and without blemish. Here's a wonderful communion hymn, "One Bread, One Body," by John Michael Talbot.
One bread, one body, one Lord of all, one cup of blessing which we bless, and we, though many, throughout the earth, we are one.
Throughout history, there's been so much discussion and controversy over the words of Jesus that we've heard today. But these words were even more abhorrent to Jews then, when Jesus told his followers, "Unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you." For consuming anything with blood in it was contrary to Jewish belief. Even early Christians were accused of cannibalism and charged with eating their God in secret ceremonies. But given Jesus' words of blessing, which we've just heard and which are repeated at every Thanksgiving meal, it's not surprising people thought that. Breaking bread, praying and having fellowship together strengthened Jesus' followers in the early church when witnessing to their faith and serving in the world, and especially when persecution broke out against them. I once visited a museum in Rome which displayed a vast collection of chalices and plates which had been given as gifts down through the centuries. All had been made with precious metals and were studded with precious jewels. Perhaps if we, the Church, could show the world that the treasure within is of far greater value and importance than the vessel itself, we might be taken more seriously in the world. This next song emphasizes that we are but rough vessels made of clay, which hold what is so precious and dear, Jesus himself, in us. We are merely the earthen vessels which hold him. Here is John Michael Talbot again singing "Earthen Vessels."
We hold a treasure not made of gold. Wealth untold.
So at the Last Supper, Christians look back at the significance of the Passover meal. They look in also to examine their lives prior to receiving bread and wine, to purify themselves, confessing every known sin. Because in Paul's letter to the Corinthians, it says that those who carelessly drink or thoughtlessly drink bring judgment upon themselves. Christians also look around and are fully united as one body sharing one bread. They study Jesus' words and learn from his example. And they also look forward to a time when Jesus will come again as he promised he would. For when he ascended into heaven, angels told the disciples he would return in the same way they had seen him go. This Messiah, Jesus, also promises a heavenly banquet at the end of time for those who have believed in him and followed his example. Purify My Heart is our next song by Brian Dirksen. It's a prayer where we ask God to look upon our sins and grant us forgiveness.
Purify my heart, let me be as gold and precious silver. Purify my heart, let me be as gold, pure gold. Refiner's fire, my heart's one desire is to be
My final question is this: what will Jesus find when he comes? Let us pray he'll find us awake and not asleep, united and not divided, generous rather than being self-indulgent, loving and not indifferent, faithful and not faithless. May we be ready and waiting when he returns. I do hope today's program has helped you understand all about the Lord's Supper and its significance in what it means to Christians everywhere. May the Lord God bless you now in every possible way, in whatever circumstances you find yourself in right now. May his love surround you this coming week, and may you find yourself greatly blessed in all you do. Here to finish is a song called The Days of Elijah, written and sung by Robin Mark. Bye for now.
Of Elijah, declaring the word of the Lord. And these are the days of your servant Moses, righteousness being restored. And though these are days of great trial, of famine and darkness and sore, still we are the voice in the desert.
These are the days of your servant David, rebuilding the temple of praise. And these are the days of the harvest. Oh, the fields are as wide in your